One day you're going to have to give an account of yourself. And that day will be the final judgment. Are you ready? If God was to take you this day, would you be ready to face Him? Ask yourself that question as we go to God in prayer. Most holy and precious Father, I come this morning with thanksgiving in our hearts. We thank You for the many blessings that You have bestowed upon us. We thank You for the air that we breathe and the ground that we walk on. We thank You for the life, blood in our veins. We thank You for this golden opportunity that we can come and worship You in spirit and in truth. We want to thank You for all the blessings that You have bestowed upon us when You did not have to. Waking us up this morning, giving us the strength in our limbs and the clarity of our mind. We want to thank You. We want to thank You for Your Son who died in blood on the cross so that we may have a chance at the tree of life. We want to thank You. We want to thank You for all the things that You have done for us that You did not have to. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now let me give a few assignments here. Brother William Burnside, would you give me Revelations 3 and 3? Brother Paul McReynolds, would you get me Hebrews 9 and 27? Brother Calvin Lee, would you give me Ecclesiastes 3 and 17? Brother Charles Robinson, would you give me Revelations 20 and 12? Brother Derek Thompson, Matthew 10 and 32. Brother Booker Lewis, Brother Lewis, would you give me John 12 and 47? Brother Isaiah Lee, Revelations 3 and 5. Brother David Bellinger, would you give me Acts 24 and 15? Brother Wayne Harris, Romans 1 and 18. Brother Oscar Smith, Romans 3 and 23. And we'll stop there for a moment. The first thing we're going to find out is that in the final judgment, it will be a trial. You will be on trial for the things that you have done in this life. It will be a bench trial. A bench trial means that you will be standing before a judge who will render verdict and sentence upon you. You will not have a trial by the jury of your peers. It will be a bench trial. So we're going to set the setting for you and see what kind of trial it's going to be. First of all, we need to know when the trial will happen. What will be the time? What does Revelation 3 and 3 say, Brother Burnside? So we don't know the time that this trial will happen. But we do know this. Hebrews 9 and 27 says what, Brother McReynolds? Hebrews 9 and 27? We don't know when the time comes, but we do know this. You are in the final countdown. What does that mean? The minute you were born, your time on this earth started counting down. As Hebrews 9 and 27 said, it is appointed for men to do what? To die once, but after that comes the judgment. So you're going to die. You are in the final countdown of your life. The minute you were born, time started ticking down. So, we don't know when you're going to die. You don't know when you're going to die. Only the Father in heaven knows that. But there's nothing you can do to change anything after you die. Death becomes the final sentence there in this life. Now you have to worry about the next life. So we don't know the time. Christ said, I'm going to come like a thief in the night. You don't know when a thief is coming to your home. If you did, you'd be ready for him. But Christ is saying, since you don't know when I'm coming, you better be ready for me. Because he's going to come like that thief. You don't know when, You don't know where, you don't know how, but he's coming. But there's going to be a judge. Can't have a trial without a judge, right? So who's going to be the judge? Who's going to judge us, Brother Lee? Ecclesiastes 3:17, what does it say? And it said, God shall judge what? Righteous and the wicked. That covers everybody, right, Brother Jackson? Everybody's covered there. And who's going to be the judge? Can't hear you. God will be the judge. So now you know who the judge is. Who's going to be the prosecutor? Got to have a prosecutor, right, Brother Robinson? What does Revelation 20:12 tell us about the prosecutor? So it says that the prosecutor will be what? The book of life. The book of life is going to be prosecuting. And it says, and the dead will judge according to their what? To their works, by the things that were written in the book. So we have a prosecutor. Now, don't fret. The Lord doesn't let you just stand up there without a defense. He gives you a defense attorney. In fact, he's going to give you the greatest defense attorney that has ever set foot on this earth. Who is our defense attorney? Let us take a look. Brother Thompson, Matthew 10:32, what does it say? You have the greatest defense attorney in the world. In fact, in the universe, you have Jesus Christ. And he says, whoever confesses me before men, I will confess him before what? My Father, which is in heaven. And who is his Father? His Father is the judge. So I do believe the judge will be listening very closely to what his Son has to say about you. Let's look at John 12:47, Brother Lewis. What does it say? Notice here, this is why Christ is the ultimate defense attorney. He says, I have not come to judge you. He's not going to be the judge. His Father is the judge. He says, I have not come to judge the world, but to do what? To save it. So we have the ultimate defense attorney. We have a mediator on our behalf. Someone who's going to stand between us and the Almighty and plead our case. Revelation 3:5, what does it say, Brother Lee? Notice what it says here. Jesus Christ is speaking again. He says, he who overcomes shall be clothed in what? White garments. And he would not blot your name out of the book of life. Remember, the book of life is the prosecutor. So if your name isn't found in the book of life, you got problems. But he says, I will confess his name before my Father. So we have an excellent defense attorney. Who is the defendant? Brother Bellinger, who's the defendant in this case? Acts 24:15. It says here, there'll be a resurrection of what? The righteous and the wicked. That covers everybody. So every one of us is the defendant in this case. We are the ones who are going to be judged. What is the charge, Brother Harris? Romans 1:18, what does it say? Romans 1:18 reads, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the ungodliness and all the So, God, if the charge is what? Wickedness, ungodliness, unrighteousness. That is the charge. And Brother Smith, what does Romans 3 and 23 say? For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Sin is the charge. You have been charged with the crime of sin. So let us take a look at the evidence that's going to be presented in this case. Brother Jackson, would you give me Ecclesiastes 3 and 15? Brother Cabot, would you get me Ecclesiastes 12 and 14? Brother Brinkley, you don't have your eyeglasses? You're going to leave me hanging here. I see this already now. Brother Harris, would you get me 2 Corinthians 5 and 10? Brother Carter, would you get me Revelations 22 and 12? Brother Bonds, Anthony Bonds, would you give me Galatians 5, 19 through 24? Let us take a look at the evidence. Brother Jackson, what does Ecclesiastes 3 and 15 say?
That which is already has been, that which is to be already has been, and God sees what has been driven away.
So, plain and simply, God is going to be looking at what we have done in this life, in our past. Once you die, there's nothing you can change. So God is going to be looking at your life, seeing what you have done during your time here on earth. And what does, Brother Cabot, what does Ecclesiastes 12 and 14 tell us? It says, for God will bring every work. Notice it says, not some, not a few. Every work will be brought into what? Judgment. Including every secret thing, whether it be good or evil. So you're going to be weighed on what you've done in your life. 2 Corinthians 5 and 10, what does it say, Brother Harris? Notice what it says. It didn't say only some of us will appear, did it? It didn't say only a few of us are going to appear. It said what? All of us are going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. That each one may receive the things done in the body. Notice it says in the body. Once you're dead, you're not in the body anymore. According to what he has done, whether it's what? Good or bad. And what does, Brother Carter, what does Revelations 22 and 12 tell us? What did he say? I come what? Quickly. Now some people are saying, well, is that meaning he's going to come tomorrow? Will he come next week? No, let's go back to when we started. We don't know the time or the hour. All we know is that he says, I come quickly. But he also says that what comes with him? My reward comes with me. To give to everyone according to what? His work. Finally, let's take a look at Galatians 5, 19 through 24, Brother Bonds. What does it say? What did it say? It said, but the acts of the sinful nature are obvious. It says what? Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, self-ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. You will not inherit the kingdom of God if you practice any of these. Who is going to inherit the kingdom of God? Well, let's keep reading. But the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness. Gentleness and self-control. Against us there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have sacrificed his sinful nature with his passions and desires. So we see the evidence is laid out before us. Your life is going to be the evidence. What you've done in this life is going to be judged. And once you've judged, then comes the verdict and the sentence. So let us take a look at what happens with the verdict and the sentence. Brother Hill, get me Romans 2, 5 through 9. Brother Milton, would you please get me Galatians 6, 7, and 8? Brother Christopher Jones, would you give me Revelations 21 and 8? Brother Paul McReynolds, would you give me Zephaniah 1 and 18? And Brother Bell, would you give me Exodus 3, 13 and 14? Now, let us go back to the verdict. Brother Hill, what does Romans 2, 5 through 9 say? So here we have the verdict. You're either going to be guilty or not guilty. What do you mean guilty? Guilty of the charge. What is the charge? The charge is sin. Are you guilty of sin? If you are, then it says here, but those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of the man who does evil. The Jew first and also the Greek. That meant everyone. But if you found not guilty, it says here, eternal life to those who are patient, continuance in doing good, seek for glory, honor, and immortality. So you have a choice in this life how you're going to lead it. You're either going to lead it for the Lord or you're going to lead it for Satan. If you lead it for Satan, I can guarantee where you will wind up. What does Galatians 6, 7, and 8 say? It says here, do not be what? Deceived. God is not mocked. A man will reap what he sows. And so if you sow evil, what do you expect God to give you? He obviously is not going to give you eternal life in heaven. If you do what thus saith the Lord, if you obey that form of doctrine that can save your soul, you are heaven bound. You can stand before your Maker and say, as Paul said, I have done what? Fought the good fight. Now you want to be able to say, I fought the good fight. You don't want to get up there and say, I blew it, Lord. Forgive me. It's too late then. The verdict will be rendered. And you will be cast with the angels and the devil in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone. You only have two choices. It's kind of black and white. You either serve the Lord or you serve Satan. There is no in between. There is no fence sitting here, people. You're either on one side or the other. Now you have to decide what side you're going to be on. And what does Revelation 21 and 8 say, Brother Jones? Abominable. Sexually immoral. It says right there, but the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is what? The second death. That's the one you want to avoid. You don't have to worry about man. Man can only kill the body. You need to worry about the person who can kill the body and the soul. Because in the final accounting, and there is going to be a final accounting, you have to decide where you're going to be. You're either going to be with God or you're going to be separated from God for eternity. Well, you're probably saying to yourself, but maybe I can bribe the judge. Maybe I can bribe the judge. You know, on earth, we can bribe the judges sometime. We see it in the news every day. But Brother McReynolds, what does Zephaniah 1 and 18 say? Notice what it says here. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to do what? Deliver them. So you're not bribing the judge. The judge doesn't need your money. He made it. Why would he need something he made? So you're not going to be able to judge. Now you're probably saying to yourself, well, maybe I can appeal to a higher court. Maybe a higher court. What does Exodus 3, 13 and 14 say? Now, this has got to be the ultimate authority here. Any authority that just says, I'm known by I am. All he said was, I am sent you. There is no higher court. You are in the Supreme Court. The ultimate Supreme Court. Not the one here on the United States of America. You are facing the Supreme Being in the Supreme Court. Because it says in Isaiah 44 and 6, thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first, I am the last. Beside me, there is no God. So therefore you have it. You are going to be placed on trial. It will be a bench trial. Now you have to decide what evidence is going to be presented in your case. Because your life is going to be that evidence. How you work and relate to your fellow man will be that evidence. Have you obeyed that form of doctrine that can save your soul? Have you continued in the faith until the last breath leaves your body? Because if you have not, you are guaranteed a one-way trip to hell. And there's no other way to look at it. So you can decide what you want to do. You can either, as Brother Ote say, turn or burn. You decide what you want to do. Either you turn right or you get left. Because what is eternal death? Eternal death is suffering in hell and permanent and complete separation from the grace of God. So you're probably asking yourself, Brother Burnside, how do I avoid that guilty verdict? Well, first comes by hearing. What do I have to hear? You have to hear the Word of God, Romans 10 and 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Then you have to believe what you heard. Acts 16, 30 and 31. And brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. So you have to believe what you heard. But first, before you can believe it, you have to hear it, right? And then you have to repent. What does repent mean? Repent means to change your evil ways. To turn from the life that you're in. To remove yourself from that sinful nature. Acts 2 and 38. Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then finally, you have to do some confessing. You got to confess. You got to make a confession. Romans 10 and 10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. What confession do you have to make? You have to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and He died and bled on the cross so that you might have a chance at eternal life. Finally, you got to be baptized. Yes, you have to be baptized. All the other steps don't mean anything if you don't be baptized. Mark 16 and 16, He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. What do you mean, damned? That means you're going to hell. There is no if, ands, and buts about that. There is no maybe. You either believe on the Lord or you don't believe on the Lord. If you don't believe on the Lord, it says plain and simply in the Scriptures, you're going to hell. But people say, but God is merciful. Yes, but God is also just. And He's already told you what He's going to do. And as far as I remember, He's a God who cannot lie. And finally, you have to continue in the faith. Notice I said you have to continue. Once saved doesn't mean always saved. Just because you've been baptized doesn't mean you get to go back and do what you did before. What was the sense of you repenting if that was the case? You have to continue in the faith. 2 Timothy 3 and 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of knowing of whom that thou hast learned them. So we have to continue growing. We have to continue in the faith so that we can reach that point where we can have eternal life. So we don't have to listen to Christ looking at us saying, I did not know you. Be gone, you workers of iniquity. Because there will come a time, brothers and sisters, that you're going to have to give an account for yourself. I don't know when that time is, but I can tell you this much. Brother Burnside is going to be worried about himself during that time. He can't help you. I'm going to be too concerned with helping myself, as Brother Carter says. I can't help you then. I can help you now. You can help me. But the time will come when the only one that can help you is yourself. You have to stand before God. I have to stand before God for myself. So now is the time, now is the hour that you will have a chance. Because after you die, then the judgment. As we together stand and sing the song of invitation.
Have thine affections been there too?